listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm your host for today's program, Peggy Hartshorn, Chairman of the Board of Heartbeat International that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And I am really excited about our program for you today. We have a wonderful guest, Greg Schutte, that I will introduce a little more specifically in just a minute. But the topic of the program is so near and dear to my heart, and we're going to be talking about husband and wife relationships. When we talk about the family sanctuary, of course, the core of the family is the father and the mother. And so how are they relating in that marriage? How are they making their marriage the flower bed, you might say, where the flowers of the children and the family are going to be blooming? And something that I think we all experience in marriage, in our own marriages and the marriages of our children, the marriages we see around us, is this disillusionment that sometimes comes into marriages. And sometimes it's a surprise, particularly for young married couples. And so we're going to be talking about that today. And wouldn't you really like to know more about why do we experience disillusionment in our marriages and what can we do about that? I certainly would, even though I've been married for many, many years. I want to know more about it. So our guest today is Greg Schutte, and he's been with us before on some excellent programs on fatherhood and marriage. And I'm happy to say he's an expert in this subject for a variety of reasons. First of all, because he's been married to his wife, Stephanie, for 24 years, and they have 7 children, ages 6 to 21, with 2 of them in college. Congratulations, Greg.
Thank you.
What an achievement. And he is also a licensed independent social worker, has done a lot of marriage counseling, preparation, and so forth. And I also know him, I'm happy to say, through the Pregnancy Help Movement.
Correct. Yeah.
Yes, he's been a part of the team of Elizabeth's New Life Center in Dayton, Ohio, since 2008, I believe, where he's worked on federal grants, state grants, private funding for developing a whole program called Marriage Works for the state of Ohio, which is really exciting.
Yeah, actually, I've been with him since 2006, but in my current position since 2008. So, yeah, I'm going on 11 years now.
Wonderful. Almost. And you were hired to really develop secular programs to promote
Correct.
Marriage and help marriage. And that was under the faith-based initiatives. But, of course, as a Catholic, and we can't think of these things without the biblical basis, without our Catholic teaching, right?
Well, Greg? It was a nice... It was nice basis for, you know, learning and growing and in understanding, you know, some of the basics of how to help couples. But it was neat to start to develop that later on through the encouragement of my supervisor to go into the faith-based, you know, teaching too.
Right.
So we started with the non-faith.
But, and of course, a secular program, a good secular program, is going to take advantage of human nature, how God created us, right? And so there's nothing in your secular programs that contradicts in any way the teaching of our church, which is wonderful.
And it was neat to, you know, in the writings that I've done for the Discovering Our Deepest Desire program that I've written, is to be able to put that God piece in there and show how it all comes together. Because there's again, a lot of good content out there, but to show how God is the master of all of that.
The full picture, the fullness of the faith, and the fullness of the teaching. So this, you mentioned Discovering Our Deepest Desire, which is your Catholic curriculum for marriage enrichment. And I'm happy to say that you're now presenting workshops, programs, retreats on that program in the Diocese of Cincinnati, our own Diocese of Columbus, and Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Well, we're, those three, but Columbus, we're just now starting. And so we're really excited about this, especially with some events coming up here. And so we're excited to launch that here, and I'm kind of excited to see what's going to happen.
We're very excited to have you here in the diocese and on St. Gabriel this morning. So tell us a little bit, Greg, about, I know the curriculum actually has 12 steps mm-hmm. To help people in marriage, but we want to focus today on just one aspect of that. And sure. And as I mentioned, it's this, what happens in marriage and in stages in marriage, often we find ourselves in disillusionment.
Right.
And we're thinking, is this all there is? We may be thinking, why did I marry this person?
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get my needs fulfilled in this marriage. I thought I could help him fulfill his needs. What's happening to us? And this kind of disillusionment is a somewhat normal stage in marriage. But,
oh, yeah.
But sometimes it can really lead to loneliness and woundedness and sometimes giving up on the relationship. So let's talk a little bit about that whole conception that couples have when they go into marriage, that now I'm going to be happy.
Right. Well, one of the things that we don't teach our kids well enough as they move into this time in life is that marriage takes work
mm-hmm.
in so many different ways. And I think so often what happens is people fall out of, and I've said this before on many different occasions, is people fall out of knowing each other first. We spend so much time before marriage really getting to know each other, really talking. Hopefully we do. I've met some couples that didn't do that, and it amazes me. But for the most part, we're spending time getting to know each other and falling in love with this person. We love what we see. We love what we hear. And we want to be a part of their life.
And you want to know more and more.
And we do. But then we get into marriage, and we're doing okay for a while. But a lot of times things start to change around that time when we first have a child, or for some couples, when they're unable to have a child and things don't go according to how we planned. Mm-hmm. Then the other thing that we see a lot of times is we get so busy with life.
Right.
And life kicks in, and we have these distractions. We have jobs. We have home repairs. We have children. We have all these things start to happen, and we lose sight of making sure that we're working on this relationship with our spouse
mm-hmm.
because we see other things sometimes as very important. One of the things that I have to say at this point, having 7 kids, is kids are a real challenge to our marriage. In fact, I was very disheartened, but I kind of understood where they were coming from. Just recently, I did a talk up in Steubenville, and I did some research on happiness that children bring to life
mm-hmm.
And the marriage. And everything I was seeing out on the internet was, you know, this, it takes away from the happiness. And when you
wow.
have kids, you know, it just, your happiness isn't the same. And in fact, I was even quoting from one guy who was saying, if you want to be happy, don't have kids. And you're sitting there
wow.
going, whoa, wait a minute, something's wrong with this. But in a sense, one of the things that is important to understand is that kids do change the way a marriage, you know, works together. And so if we're not working at it, if we're not paying attention, understanding each other, listening to each other, you'll hear me talk about this a lot, feeding each other,
mm-hmm.
then we slowly grow out of knowing who this person is. And then we have these expectations that aren't fulfilled. We have, you know, these differences that come into a marriage because you hear opposites attract.
Mm-hmm.
And so these opposites, if we're not talking, can become those things that really drive us nuts.
They're not attracting, they're repelling.
Right. But if we're working together, these differences can actually work to our advantage.
Mm-hmm.
One example is with me and my wife. And we laugh about this all the time, but we didn't in the beginning, which was, I'm a spender, she's a saver. And she's very focused on, you know, saving the money and making sure we've got enough to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, grew up with, hey, you want that telescope? You go out and buy it because it's going to be a clear night tonight.
And it's on sale.
And it's on sale. And so again, if we're not working together, if we're not communicating and we're just kind of passing each other and don't know who this person is, when we do these types of things, it can create a difficulty.
Right.
And we're making decisions without each other.
So. And I can see specifically with children, like you were mentioning, how they can radically change the way or the time couples have for communicating,
mm-hmm.
the energy they have for communicating, because children demand urgent attention.
Oh, yeah.
You always have to. Their needs are always urgent, it seems.
Right. And sleep deprivation is horrible. It wreaks havoc on.
So if the couple doesn't intentionally make time work at the relationship to change whatever habits perhaps that they've developed in communication before the children come along, we can just kind of drift apart.
Right, right.
Yeah, because we're so urgently taking care of other needs of the family.
And in a sense, we really need to, you know, a lot of times we're not teaching young couples this, is that there should be a renegotiation. And maybe that sounds a little cold, you know, that's negotiating, but we need to be talking about how things change because it can't stay the same. I've known fathers that say, I don't change diapers. And I just want to say, what? You know, wait a minute. You are a father. This is a part of what you should be doing. You can't just sign off that you're not doing
this. We can't just sign off.
Right.
Right.
Or they come home and expect their spouse to have the meals like they used to. Or, you know, my wife even said this as we were talking about this at one time. She says, sometimes you got to look at what's the lowest common denominator that you're willing to live with sometimes in these moments. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have to have the perfect house? Do you have to have the perfect meals? Sometimes you don't get that. But
right.
Can we be okay together? Are we working together? And knowing that I have to get up in the middle of the night and help out. So I think we come into some of these things with expectations and don't realize when the changes happen, whether it be kids or illness or
age
mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. We need to be talking about how these changes are affecting us and how we're going to work together on this. If not, mm-hmm. we work against each other.
Right. And I love what you said about marriage being hard work. I can remember I was always kind of mystified by that a little bit. My mother used to say that all the time. Marriage is hard work. And I saw her cooking and cleaning and and taking care of us and my dad and working constantly. But I didn't really realize until I was married myself the nature of the work of marriage. It's not necessarily that kind of physical work that I was seeing from my mother all the time. Mm-hmm. It's very, very different.
Right. And there's a lot of emotional work that goes along with this too. The emotional connection that we need to continue to build. And I talk about this all the time, is are we staying in the know of who we're married to? If we're not making time for each other, we fall out of knowing, and that's, you know, we don't stay the same person. We change. Mm-hmm. We change with children. We change with jobs. We change with, you know, different stress, age, mm-hmm. all of these kind of things mm-hmm. change, and we've got to stay that, you know, connected in many ways. If not, again, mm-hmm. we're allowing those stresses to really divide us.
Mm-hmm. Our guest today is Greg Schutte, and he is a real expert in couple relationships, in marriage, fatherhood, a wonderful father. I know we've had some programs in our archives with Greg, too, that you'll want to consult. And he's the author of Discovering Our Deepest Desire, which is a Catholic curriculum for marriage enrichment. And watch for him and being presenting some programs in our diocese and also the Diocese of Cincinnati and Kalamazoo. So, Greg, getting back to this idea of each individual has needs. When they, just being human, we have our needs. And when we get married, we often think this other person is going to fulfill these needs. And now I'll be happy. And just recently, I was at the marriage of our niece. And the priest gave a phenomenal homily about that. One of the points that he made was, don't put that expectation on the other person. That person is going to fulfill all of my needs. I think it's a natural feeling or a natural thought that many people have going into marriage. And we know that our deepest needs are only fulfilled in our relationship with the Lord.
Right.
Only that can truly fill all of our needs. But is it wrong to expect a spouse to help fulfill some of your needs? And how does that work in a marriage?
That's a great question, because ultimately that's what gets us in trouble is in any part of life is when we go into it with too high of or too unrealistic of expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of trying to deal with the moment and work together through it. But I've heard it said a lot of times, expectations lead to disappointments because we want it to be a certain way. When I talk to young couples, one of the things that we talk about is, you know, I'll say, you know, you want to get to know this person, you want to build trust, and then I'll say to them, it's important in marriage that you fulfill all of your spouse's needs, right? And everybody's shaking their head yes, and you'll see a couple going, something's not right about that. And I'm like, you're right on, because you can't. It's and I've heard people say that this person is going to fulfill all my needs. And again, that leads to this falling off the white horse kind of mm-hmm. thing. But it is important to understand that we're here to help each other get their needs met, meaning that we are to be their helpmate. So I can't help I can't fulfill all my wife's needs, but I can help her in some of those things. Let's just give an example. If my wife is stressed out and she's been teaching the kids all day long, you know, how I help is I can't take away her stress. I can't maybe even relate to something that she's struggling with, but I can definitely take the kids, get them out of the house. We go for the next day, be gone, and let her have time to just do the things that she needs to do to recover, or maybe connect with her girlfriends and talk about girl things that, mm-hmm. yeah, it's not, it's, I won't have that perspective. So it's helping her get that need met. And sometimes it's processing things with them. I think we don't realize this as guys. A lot of guys don't want to hear all the details. Yeah, because we're afraid that we're going to get lost in all the details.
Maybe you can't solve the problem.
Right, or we can't. Yeah, because guys, when it's a big problem, we want to solve it. But we don't realize that part of helping them get their needs met is just listening, just hearing, understanding. And sometimes it's just hugging them, just putting your arm around them and mm-hmm. not having an answer.
Right.
And that's helping them, you know, feel like I'm not in this alone. I'll get through this and I'm not alone. And we forget that there's simple ways that we help each other get those needs met. But that's the point, is helping each other.
Uh-huh. You mentioned ways that you can help your wife. How has your wife helped you?
Well, that's, again, a great point, because, you know, I think that as I'm feeding her and she's learning to feed me, it's so important for me to thank her for those, so she sees how she's, you know, helping me get my needs met. And so a lot of times she will be very thankful to me for the things that I'm doing around the house. That meets a need of mine, believe it or not, which is to feel needed, to feel wanted,
helpful.
To feel helpful. Mm-hmm. She encourages me in on some of the conversations that she's having with the kids, because let's get dad's perspective. And it's like, wow, I feel, you know, a part of this family. For me, one of the big things is touch. And so for her, she'll walk by me in the chair and she'll just touch my foot, or mm-hmm. she'll just, you know, touch my shoulder. And those are needs that I have that are small, but they're not. They're very big for me. And it says, hey, I'm thinking of you. We're connecting. So, yeah, those are some of the ways, but there's so many other ways that she...
That reminds me of the love languages, because you must have
right.
physical touch as a love language and words of affirmation, it
right.
sounds like.
And that was one of the big, you know, learning curves for us, because I kept wanting to give her that same love language, but with 7 kids, that's not her love language. So I had to learn the hard way with that one. But
we've done a couple programs, I think, on love languages for this program, The Family Sanctuary. I think that is so important.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it demands that you're communicating with each other.
Right.
So you can tell her, hey, it really... I love it when you just touch my shoulder or touch my toe. It just makes me feel loved.
Well,
or thank you for thanking me.
Right.
So she knows, again, she's reminded of your love language. You know, I am so dense, and I think a lot of people probably would admit that. I sometimes forget what my husband's love language is. I have to be reminded of it, you know.
Well, this is, and I'm glad you said this, because this is a key point to this disillusionment,
mm-hmm.
Is that often we lose sight, or we don't understand how to feed the other person, how to meet a need of theirs, or what that need looks like. So even with the love languages, my wife's love language may be acts of service. But if I'm coming home and I'm cutting the grass and doing all this work outside, but she needs me inside, it's not feeding her. It's not mm-hmm. helping her.
Even though it is an act of service.
Right.
She doesn't care about the grass at that point.
And a lot of times I see this in marriages early on, and then it starts them down this path where one person, you know, I'll hear people in therapy saying, he started checking out on me, or she doesn't care about me anymore. And what happens is often early on, we're trying to do good things for the other person, but we don't understand what they need. We're not listening. They're not explaining it to us. And so we try to feed them. We try and do something for them. And it's not what they need. So they respond with, I can't believe you did that. Why are you doing that? And then my response is, wait a minute, I was trying to do something good. It didn't work. And before we know it, if we're reacting to each other, if we're doing this guesswork, then we start to withdraw from each other. And that withdrawing from each other starts to create this, you don't care. And people get to this point where they're so far apart later on in marriage, and they don't know how they've even gotten there. But a lot of time it started not as a mean, nasty selfishness, but I tried to fulfill and it didn't work and there was a bad reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So this starts us down this road of disillusionment too.
Mm-hmm. And then you're wounded. You get wounded. You feel mm-hmm. hurt by the other person and you hate to admit it because you don't want to get hurt again.
Right.
So the barriers are up there for communication.
Yeah. I even heard one gentleman, he said, you know, the wife said, look, he won't talk to me anymore. He never talks to me, and painted him as this guy who doesn't share any feelings. And I talked to him and he said, well, you know, understand that back when I was trying to talk to her, she discounted me, or I felt discounted. And then she would go talk about all of our problems to mother, mm-hmm. to her mother. And so I learned not to say anything to her. And now we're off to the races of, we've created this pattern.
Racing apart.
Yeah, racing apart. And we're like, how did we get to this point? And we start mm-hmm. to then, you know, feel.
So I know that we have a lot of opportunities now available to try to get back together. You know, I'm thinking of people who may be listening and relating to a lot of what you're saying, Greg, and thinking, okay, but now what do I do? All right, maybe I'm not. I think one important thing is to realize that if you're feeling distant in your relationship with your spouse, if you are in a period of disillusionment, one of the things to realize is that this is a pretty common feeling in mm-hmm. marriage.
Yeah.
You're not the only one.
No. And that's the beautiful thing about going to classes. So many people, you know, shun them. And a lot of times people wait too long to come to a class or go to therapy or get mentorship because of embarrassment, or they're worried about money, or worried about what other people will think.
Or they think they may be different. You know, maybe there is no help available when there are so many people suffering through the same things and help is available.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When I run my classes, and that's why I love doing them over 12 sessions. Some people are like, well, it's a lot. But what's beautiful about that is not only are the couples getting help, but they're starting to connect with others who are saying, yeah, we've been there, done that. Oh, honey, we've... Mm-hmm. And it's nice to know I'm not alone in this. Someone else has gone through it, and here's some ideas.
Sure.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And there are so many opportunities now, and I'm hoping people are looking in their church bulletins, they're looking in the Catholic Times, they're watching for opportunities to go to Marriage Enrichment. A Marriage Encounter is a wonderful opportunity, and we've had several programs related to Marriage Encounter, even RetroVi for couples who have been through real disillusionment and maybe even divorce or separation.
Yeah.
There always is hope.
There is, and I think what's neat about today is a lot more people are waking up to this whole concept. So there are programs out there, but I would like to see them more readily available, and that's what I would encourage people that are listening, that if you don't see this in your church, talk to your pastor, talk to, you know, someone in the church about, can we get some programming going? Because there's a lot of, I was just at a conference just recently for family life ministers, and it's so heartwarming to see now more programs coming out to help people in this. And it shouldn't be a program that just is here, take it, go with it, do your own thing. It should be one that, you know, really helps couples grow in this and then extends it out, meaning that couples that go through this can also teach others, become mentors, or couples that go through this continue on with, you know, a group of other people that have gone through it, and they're learning more and learning more. Because a lot of people go through Marriage Works classes, and they'll go through 18 classes, believe it or not, and at the end they're saying, what else do you have?
I want more. They need constant support.
Well, because when you're falling back in love with your spouse, it's like, it's contagious. You're just mm-hmm. like, ah, I want mm-hmm. more. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad that we're having more and more opportunities in our church for that, and that we have more and more people like you, Greg, who are developing curricula and coming to speak in our parishes. And I would encourage everyone to see what's available in your own parish, in neighboring mm-hmm. parishes, and there are lots of opportunities. Well, Greg, for couples, can you give just, we've only got about a minute left, can you give maybe the most important thing that you and your wife have been able to do that has really helped you continue that communication in your relationship?
One of the things that I bring up all the time is what I call check-in time. Every day when I come home, it's check-in time. I love my kids. They run to me. They want to tell me everything that my wife wants to tell me. And I'm like, no, let mom tell me. I go to her and I find out about her day. If it's good, great. You know, I enjoy it. If it's bad, then I see what I can do to really help her there and build that connection. And to me, that's one of the great turning points in our relationship is keeping that connection.
That's great. Check-in time.
Check-in time. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Greg, for being with us today. It's a blessing to know you and to know how God has really been enlightening you. We're going to have another program with Greg. Look into that program as well on Eucharistic marriage. Mm-hmm. So thank you again, Greg, for being with us.
Thank you.
Being our guest today. And you are listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Peggy Hartshorn, your host today for the Family Sanctuary. Archives of our show are on stgabrielradio.com. And our program is broadcast every Monday at 12:30 and 2 o'clock on Sundays. Please join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.